What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the I Don't Get It podcast. We are missing Naz Perez this week, but we have someone filling in for her, and her name is Adrian, and she can be seen all over my Instagram being the only person that makes me take photos. She became friends of ours 2 years ago when I did her hair, and she infiltrated her way into the Akinetti family. So yeah, welcome, Adrian.
Yes,
welcome.
I wasn't pregnant yet. That's super, super crazy. We are having Adrian on, though, regardless of whether Naz was missing or not, because the topic of conversation today is going to be life after divorce, just divorce in your 30s. Lots of questions about it. Not something that Lauren and I hope to relate to.
But it is something that a lot of people go through.
Yes. So we will dive into that a little bit. But do you want, like Adrian, talk about yourself for a little while before we go into like the hard stuff?
Yeah, tell us what you do, where, and all the good stuff. Yeah.
Let's see here. Well, I will say before we met, we have a lot of parallels in our life. Like, yes. I have one sister. We're 2 years apart. Both of our dads' names are Jay. We're Italian. We're both from Great Falls. So we were bound to infiltrate. But yes, I did meet Lauren. She did my hair. And I was like, you will be my best friend. She was like, no new friends. And I was like, you'll be my best friend. Like, yeah. Sorry, I will invite you to everything. I will text you all day. So that was that.
She does. If you start her with texting, she will go.
Yeah. I'll keep going. Okay. So anyway, I own my own business. We've taken a turn here now. It's a gummy-based business here in DC. A lot of people have been, fans through Lauren's hair clientele. But the company is DC Grays. And I don't know. I think I'm just on here to talk about other things other than that are more interesting. Totally. Like, you guys have, like, I just want.
You got married at 25.
Engaged at 24, married at 25. But I do want to say, like, I feel like, and I've told Lauren this like a bunch of times, not to jump right into it, but your life is basically a series of decisions you've made at different points in your life. And we only know our own journey that we've walked, but it is incredibly scary. Some of the decisions you make in your early 20s that, you know, lead you along your path. But I know you guys have a lot of like younger girls listening. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have a lot of insight into that whole experience to share. Right. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, let's talk about how you met your husband, your ex-husband.
Yeah. So,
and like your feelings of when you met him, because actually, weirdly enough, on the I Don't Get It message boards on the Facebook group last night,
I thought I saw something about divorce.
This girl says, she had no idea you were coming on. She goes, can you please describe the emotions and feelings you had while you were planning your wedding and the feelings you had when you're planning your wedding day? Also, can you please state how long you've been married and are you genuinely happy? And she also would like to hear from you if you're divorced and called off an engagement. She's basically wondering like how she should supposed to be feeling, planning a wedding, getting married, all the excitement. Like, maybe there's some cold feet there. So you were engaged at 24, planning a wedding, got married at 25. What were like your feelings when you were dating, engaged? Any red flags, warning signs, any information?
Yeah, a lot of content here. Okay. So I actually met my ex-husband at a fundraiser party in McLean. He was roommates with a mutual family friend, and I went with my parents, not like looking for anything. And at the time, I had gotten out of like a serious, I would say, end of college relationship. And in my life, I always dated the athletes, the frat boys, the, you know, F boys. I loved like the life of the party guy. After that relationship ended, I was like, I need to date someone completely different because clearly that equation is not working for me. So, you know, one thing led to another. He kept asking me, can I get a drink for you? This or that. And then asked for my number. I kind of left. I didn't like give my number. Anyway, he followed up and on paper, great
person.
How
did he follow up? I'm just curious now.
I think it was like Facebook message back then. Okay. I mean, this was a long time ago. And so I was like, all right, like, I guess I'll go on a date. Like, this guy's so different, literally so different than any guy I've ever dated. Basically, this is going back to me being like, I need to change my whole entire type because that's not working out. Instead of realizing like relationships just end. And so anyway, I go out with this guy and I'm like, you know what? Like there was no, like, I had no spark. There was no like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you. But I had that obsessive feeling before. And it always kind of went down one path, which was like, okay, this guy is like the jock, the whatever. And it never ends
well.
The guy
that made you nervous. So you kind of felt like you kind of misconstrued nerves as love before an obsession. And now you're like, well, maybe we should do the practical thing and go for a guy who's not going to make me shit my pants. But do you think, were you getting any pressure from like your parents or anyone to like get married soon?
No, no pressure from my parents. The pressure was more like, in a weird way, peer pressure, because everyone, I feel like at that time, like 2015, a lot of my friends were like getting married right out of college with like their college sweethearts. So it was sort of just like what everyone was doing. Like, I feel like there is this like pocket of time when you're like 24, 25, where there is like a community of people that are getting married. So you're like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. Like, this is sort of what we're doing. And I felt like formulaically, if that's a word, it made sense on paper, like nice, Catholic, you know, like wants to live in this area from here, wants to have children. These are the goals, whatever. So like on paper, I was like, let me just give this a go. Let me give this a try. And
wait,
I went,
what a go, the relationship or the marriage?
The relationship.
Okay.
The relationship at the time.
And plus I just wanted like, it's just interesting because we're from the same town, but I never felt that pressure of people getting married around me. And I don't think I ever felt it. I think that we live in an area.
Maybe because you went to Catholic school.
I went to Catholic school.
We went to different school. Maybe, Okay. Different communities in the same place.
Because I know the Langley crowd too, and they're much more fun and much more like, you know, not. They're not like, doing what we were doing.
Getting married in our 20s, predominantly. No.
But I mean, I could name off, I was already like, I had gone to a dozen weddings at that point.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah. And I always like wanted to be a mom and stuff. It was never a question as to like what I wanted to do. I always wanted to get married, be a mom. That wasn't a question. So it was sort of just like, all right, well, and this was also the height of like the Pinterest craze of weddings. It was like people were doing extravagant, crazy things. And this was all pre-pandemic. The culture was different.
Support from today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a guest, looking for an everyday outfit that makes your bod look awesome, Honeylove is your go-to for all things shapewear. They have revolutionized the compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. You'll immediately love it and you're going to love to see the difference. It feels good, but it also looks amazing. And we have an exclusive offer for our listeners. It's 20% off your entire order when you use code GETIT at honeylove.com. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com and use the code GETIT. No, no spaces or anything like that. Do you guys have any time in your life where like shapewear has really made you feel so much more confident at an event? I had to wear it. I liked it. I like it sometimes as like a slip. So like if I'm wearing a tight dress, like a bodycon dress, and you want like that full, you want that like hourglass shape and you want the support in the booby area and then the butt area, and you want it to look sleek underneath without, you know, showing the bra.
That's like the half the point of it, but I appreciate you explaining.
Some people use it more for like just the
lifting,
overall hold
sucking,
feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it more of like for, well, I guess shape creation.
Yeah.
And smoothness.
Yeah.
Molding.
I want my saddlebags to be pushed in a little bit. That's what I like to use it for. So anyways, treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com with the code GETIT. Use the code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T, at honeylove.com.
Oh, before we move on, I just want to say that they have more than shapewear. They have comfortable bras, tanks, leggings for like everyday things. And I love their bras. Oh, they're so comfortable.
But that same feeling in dating was also what I felt getting married. In my mind, I was like, well, I'm just making a better decision because I'm not basing it off of like these other sort of feelings.
Yeah. You thought you were being responsible.
Yeah. Yep. Because people would try to talk it up. Well, that's just a spark. And like, there's so much more to it. Like they have to be this, this, this. So I was like, okay, I guess when I'm signing up for marriage, it's going to be like different. Like I have to just disclude those feelings.
So that when you were getting, when you like set a date and you got it, well when you got engaged, how'd you feel?
Like I think I was excited to get married, but I was not.
You're excited for the wedding?
Just to get married, I think, and have kids. But I didn't never thought of it as like, obviously my perspective is different now based on my situation, but I never thought of it like, I'm going to have children with you. I'm going to be married to you. I thought of it as like, I'm getting married. I'm having kids. This is just what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So did you think of like how long marriages ideally last? Marriage ideally lasts for?
Yeah. I never
like,
thought.
I'm going to be 70 something, hopefully, with this person.
Yeah. I never thought I would like be divorced like ever, ever, ever. Like I'm such like also like when I commit to it, it's like forever and ever. And again, my whole perspective was I just thought this was what was the option that you should choose because it's good for you. Like I was just, that was the mindset.
So you got married and your wedding night, do you feel like I shouldn't have done this? Or are you feeling like, you know, this is life and this is a beautiful wedding.
Yeah. Like how'd you feel when like the doors opened and it's like time to walk down the aisle?
Yeah, I definitely felt emotional. I mean, I had a huge wedding like yours, Ashley. I had like 350 people there. It was an extreme affair.
Oh, wow.
So it was like walking into Wonderland, you know? So you had all the emotions, I feel like, of that. And then all the people around you. And again, all I had in my mind was this is what I'm supposed to do. Like, this is just what marriage is, you know? And just disassociated from all of my earlier dating experiences. And just kept telling myself based on my opinion and other people that this is the right thing to do. This is like a good guy. This is like the right guy. But again, I knew pretty much the whole time. Okay. I knew the whole time it was like not what it was supposed to be. But again, I kept justifying in my mind so many different things. But yeah, I knew on my wedding night. And what are you supposed to do? You just had a $500,000 wedding. I think you need to give it a go.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna put 6 years in.
You give it a go.
You know?
Oh my God. Okay, wait. Gosh. Okay. Well, thanks for being honest about the cost of your wedding. That is it's a bold statement.
I mean, Lauren knows that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So hold on a second. Do you think that he felt towards you all the things that you really do hope and want to feel towards another person when entering marriage?
I think he did in the beginning. And then, you know, I respect my ex as a person, but he has a different mindset on life. And Lauren knows this, you know, with super Catholic or Mormon guys, they have justification for a lot of different things that go on in the relationship. So I think at the end of the day, like their view on self-sacrifice is different. But no, I mean, the entire time he would have stayed with me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because he would have done it out of like, religion.
He made the decision and he will die on the hill. Okay, whereas I for so long thought,
not
okay,
that he thought it was all
that.
Roses and rainbows.
No.
Okay. When did you feel like it started going south where you were like, okay, I know that I never had that feeling that everybody hopes to have, but this is getting to be like not a situation I want to live in.
Yes. Every year I would sort of have I would have the feelings constantly, but I would sort of bring it up and then he would sort of level set me or justify me, or I would just like move on from it. Or we had a child, mm-hmm. or someone died in the family, or there was something that happened with one of my kids, two different health things.
We'll get into the children in a minute.
Yeah. So there were just things that kept preventing me from also doing that. Also, as soon as I got pregnant, I stopped working, which was, by the way, like 2 seconds into getting married. I got pregnant two months later.
Oh, wow.
After we got married.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was married for 6 years, but I was a stay-at-home mom. So it was like busting out of that kind of a situation, you need to have a little bit of a plan. But there were just so many things that kept coming up that kept kind of preventing it from actually happening. Also, it's a little taboo to be like divorcing when you're like 30, at least it feels. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of why it kept going on. So I was married for a total of 6 years.
Okay. I've got lots of questions in here.
Yeah.
Well, the wedding night question is like lingering for me. And I know you don't want to go into the details, but like, can I ask, did you guys like wait till you're married too?
We did.
You did. Okay.
We did.
So you had sex the first time on your wedding night. Did that play a role in how fast you got married and like how much?
Not really.
No. Okay.
If you know me now, like I'm getting married pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
She keeps
having teaser alert, you know, like, yeah, spoiler alert.
I hate to do it. No, that didn't really play a role into it. That was a new thing for me. Like I said, I was out here dating frat guys and athletes. So that was not the lifestyle previous. But I said, hey, let me try something so different.
Oh, so you weren't a virgin, but the two of you had sex for the first time on your wedding night.
Yeah.
Did sex complicate things in the relationship? Like did the inexperience on one end?
No, it wasn't the inexperience. It was all the other stuff that affected me just literally not wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
You just never felt like you wanted to be intimate with
him. She didn't want to rip his clothes off.
Yeah, because you weren't super attracted. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not only that. It's like when resentment starts building up and issues, and like, honestly, you can be very unattracted to someone based on like how personalities shine through and things that are said. Yeah. And I can talk more later about this, but you can think you're one way sexually until you meet the right person and then hello.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. So then you get pregnant 2 months into the marriage.
Yes.
Was it personal? Yeah. It was planned.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you really wanted to be a mom. So you guys started trying right away. So, like, did the child coming into the picture play as a stressor on the relationship even more?
No, honestly, the child coming into the relationship was, I think, something that made me feel like I'm going to give this more effort in the beginning. We had a lot of health stuff with Mark. And so that complicated any sort of feelings of me wanting to break up the marriage. Because first of all, like, you're dealing with serious like health stuff and things like that. And so you're kind of like, we need to be a united front. Also, as a stay-at-home mom, I didn't have like some vast community. Also, I was a very young mom. So dealing with some of that stuff, I didn't really have like anyone else to talk to. So then therefore you lean into your current situation.
Okay. So you mentioned that like not having a job kind of like made you think, oh, I should stay because I don't have to work. But also you're working as a mom, so that's not fair to say. But also, maybe financially, you were like, okay, well, financially, I can't leave. So,
but I don't even think she's there yet. Were you even thinking about that at that point? Like when you first had Mark?
It had always been on my mind. Like, if I want to leave this situation, how do I leave it?
So what would you suggest to women out there who maybe do want to be stay-at-home moms, but then also don't want to have that feeling of like, what's their future going to be if there's not a husband around?
I would say
via death or divorce.
I know. Well, I would say sort of what I always did was I always had like a side project. I always like did blogging or this and that. And I would try to always like teach classes or have some sort of something on the side where I could keep building like an audience or something that I feel like I could turn into like a business later. Even if it wasn't super serious while I was a mom, I feel like that gave me the landing pad. Also, I sort of started my business to kind of get on the outs. But honestly, when it comes down to it, and I can talk more about this later, like you have to have the balls to blow up your whole life for happiness because it is worth the unknown than rather stay in a situation where you think that this is love. This is all you get for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to play devil's advocate right now.
Yeah.
You just told everyone that you had a $500,000 wedding. So people are out there being like, well, this girl obviously had people or money inherited or whatever.
Like a safety net.
Yeah.
The answer is no. The answer is yes, my parents paid for the wedding, but they're also not out here just like funneling money. They're also like, if you make a decision, hello, you have to work through it yourself. Also getting divorced at 33, my parents weren't like, I'm going to pay your bills. Mm-hmm. So I still had to figure everything out on my own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just wanted to put that out there so that everybody knew, you know?
No, absolutely.
You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from Jenny Kane.
Jenny Kane for Classy Bitches.
I'm so obsessed.
We love Jenny Kane. I just wore their California. They call it like California chic or whatever. And I wore it in Carmel, California.
Classic.
And, people in Carmel, California.
And you were clutching your cashmere cardigan as the wind blew as you looked upon the sea.
Yes.
Well, that's smart that you wore it there because Jenny Kane's all about classic, comfortable California inspired clothes. I love the Shearling mules. Mm-hmm. They're the best. They keep my toesies so warm, but they're also slip-on.
They look so good.
They look so dope. Like I literally wear them with jeans out to just run errands and it looks better than, I don't know. I look so put together, but yet it's like a house slip-on.
It's a house slipper
around my house. I'm so obsessed. I feel like I should get them surgically attached to my feet.
I got the sweater coat, which is always just like another classy
got the sweater coat. I don't have it yet, but I just ordered it.
It covers like your bum.
Is that the one I think I ordered that one too.
I think we all have great taste. It's just a nice long cozy sweater that you can throw over like a workout outfit and with your like Shearling mules look like a Swedish influencer.
To me, I was like, this is like, I'm a mom, but I'm a cool mom.
Right. Yeah. Like you or do Pilates solely.
Exactly.
It's the ultimate like minimalist girl.
Yeah.
Cool girl.
Clean girl. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
anyways,
their staples.
We could talk about Jenny Kane and how amazing their staples are forever. But we just want to let you know that you can get 15% off your order when you use our code.
That's massive because you guys, these are like the kind of products that you keep in your closet for a long time. They are a little bit on the pricier end, but 15% off, like heck yeah. So dramatic pause there, but yeah, the 15% off code is get it. So 50% off with our promo code get it at jennykane.com/get it. Let me spell it out for you. J.
Very good. It's a J.
N-N-I. KAYNE.com/get it.
The brand go-to for all season staples. Treat yourself because you deserve it. Okay, so then you said that you started your business while everything was on the outs. Do you think that your ex-husband knew that that's what you were kind of planning? Or do you think was he supportive of your business? Because maybe he thought like, oh, she's going to leave.
Is that what you were planning?
Yeah, she did say that.
Yeah, she did say that.
I started going more full throttle because I was like, I literally need a plan. Like I had known in my mind and I kept making excuses, but I was like, okay, it's time to put the excuses into action and fueled me to create this business and actually like put in all the work and effort into it. And he was supportive of it. Also, like his mindset and priority again is a different worldview. It's like you're kind of at home to like bear children, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that mindset if that is how you want to be. But I was like getting a little bored of that. I didn't want to have 6 kids. I didn't want to like live that life anymore. I wanted to have something for myself, and I knew that I needed to build that in order to leave. and have something for myself.
When that switch go off for you? Because I think that for you going into the marriage, you were cool with having to being the stay-at-home mom.
Oh, yeah.
Which like, at one point in my life, I was like, that would be so ideal. And now some days I crave it. Some days I wish I was like, I wish I didn't have to do any work. I wish I could just hang out with my kid. And then I know there'd be days that I would go absolutely mad that way. So absolutely. When did that that start to be like a thing in your mind?
That was kind of, it was always there subtly. But after I had the second, I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Like I thought, honestly, having a second, I would be like, okay, this will be like, it'll
make us. So time consuming.
Yeah. But really, I guess I can't say a specific time. I think it was 2021, the end of 2021, I started the business. And that was sort of like, I knew in my mind, this was my exit strategy. I hate to say it. That's blunt, but
We have like I kind of want to like get more into like the dating aspect. Cause like we know the marriage on the outs, all this stuff, you get divorced, it happens and it's,
but I have one huge question.
Yes. Okay,
go for it. I'm sorry, Lauren, before we go there, was there a moment you knew, or was there just a continual progression of leading?
I knew the entire time. It was just a continual progression of like, okay, stop making excuses. One day I was just like, I literally can't do it anymore. There was a moment, there was a person I met that sort of kind of didn't know that he had this effect on my decision-making at the time, but it was a conversation I had with someone where I said, fuck it. I have to leave. So yeah, there was like that moment. But all along, it was a progressive.
Yeah. So you can't blame it on one particular person or thing or instance. Yeah. No. Okay. So you get a divorce. You live in the same house for a little bit, correct?
Correct.
How is that?
I think it's not uncommon.
I don't think it's uncommon because there's different living situations.
Correct. It was like 4 or 5 months.
Ooh.
Not in the same bed, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I'm going to be blunt. I'm going to be honest here on the podcast because I feel like that's really what people want to hear.
Yeah.
But I told him on a Monday, on a Sunday, it was done. Monday, I was out there dating. And some people might say, hey, you know, that doesn't seem cool. But honestly, I had been ready to date for a couple of years. So I have a lot of dating content, but basically
wait a second. Did you just say like, hey, husband that I was married to a couple of days ago, I'm going to go on a date tonight?
No, there was like 2 weeks before where I said, hey, I'm really going to seriously think about this. I don't think this is what I want. And then when he was on his way home from like a guy's trip, I was like, I've decided like I'm done with this. And I'm trying to be as respectful as possible, obviously, here, but I didn't say I'm dating. I just did my own thing. At that point, there was some foul play in how I was treated once I made that decision. And so
he wasn't like blindsided, due to those is actions, what we're gonna get.
Yeah. But due to the actions that he went through after I said it was all over, I was like, I'm literally all the way dating. So okay.
People are going to wonder if there is another guy on the horizon when you said, I'm getting divorced from you.
There was not really a guy on the horizon. There was a guy that sort of showed me a specific feeling where I was like, all right, I know it's out there.
I know this story, and I'm just going to clarify for her that it wasn't like a sexual thing. It was more of like kind of just like seeing a guy in his like element doing something really attractive that she found very attractive and kind of was like, this is the kind of the feeling I'm striving for.
Correct.
Of like admiration for someone rather than like, oh, I'm hooking up with this dude and I can't wait to hook up with him when I'm divorced.
Correct.
Because it never did.
Yeah. No, we never did. And it was also like, this guy is so different. This guy's so alternative in his thought. And so I was immediately back to like my younger self. Like, this is more me. Like, I can see this for my life again. Not with this person, but this guy's showing me that it exists out there still. And it's feeling right.
Gotcha. Right. Gotcha. Okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
But I will say I have the three gets that you need when you're going to be dating after divorce. You need to get a vibrator, you get a gym membership, and you need to get some Botox.
Okay.
And this is bottom line, top tier, the three things you need before anything else, before you even get on a dating app.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very good advice. Honestly, stand behind all of that.
Okay. The vibrator, I would honestly say that the vibrator is probably important in the fact that like,
you don't bring anyone home. You got your vibrator at home.
You should use that when you're debating whether or not to go further with someone you're dating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like lean on that as a crutch.
Yeah. You just need to listen. You need to get in your sexual era and you need to explore a little bit before you go out and hit the streets because people are doing different things. It's not 2015.
Okay.
Okay.
So as you're dating out there, let's say you're beyond this like trial to week period. This is beyond like that trial period or whatever. So you're out there dating, you are sleeping with men. What are they doing differently now that you're out there after being married? Like what sexually is different? I mean, shit, I'm right in the same boat with you. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's very interesting. I felt like I was blessed in that I have two best friends that are like 10 years younger than me, you know, Simona and Catherine. Mm-hmm. So they're like the Gen Z in my ear telling me, hey, this is what's happening. They gave me crash courses.
I'm like scared to know.
Oh, no, it's fine. But the thing is like when I became single, it was like there is a job requisition open. Like I am a hiring manager. There is a job to be filled. So I was going through resumes. I was like, this was a full-time job. Like I was taking it very serious. So I was doing my research. I was talking to my friends. I was 2 times a day in the gym. So that when
two
I was out there.
2 times a day. Oh yeah, you looked amazing in the beginning, the first place.
Lauren knows.
No, you look good, but she was wearing saggy leggings. All right. Listen, that was a tall tale sign of like a sad person. Her leggings had like a baggy crotch.
No, it's because they were maternity and I would still continue to wear them.
The most comfy of leggings. They come so high up.
Okay, wait. So are you actively seeking like a boyfriend or a husband, or are you just like trying to get out there?
Well, I was like, I have two options here. I either go on The Bachelor or I get on Hinge and say I'm looking for my husband.
You definitely could have been on The Bachelor. You may have been like a little bit of like a character.
I may have been a character. Honestly, probably would have not been that second husband I was looking for. But I went into the dating world like, I'm going to see what's out there, but I'm for sure looking for husband number two. Like, I hate to say it, but I went into it being like, I'm finding husband two. So it was very...
So you weren't scarred by your divorce experience like a lot
Absolutely
of people?
Absolutely not. I was like, I can't wait to get married again.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah. Because I believe in marriage.
Yeah.
But it has to be with the right person, obviously.
How many people did you date until you met your now fiance, who you got engaged to how many months after telling your husband I want a divorce?
Oh, no. I started dating him 6 months after we separated.
6 months after you separated.
Yeah.
And then the divorce wasn't final for some time, but I get it. You were separated.
Yeah, it was finalized a couple months later. But I dated my now fiance for 5.5 months, and then we got engaged.
Okay.
Okay, so you're out there, but you were like, you were in DMs. Like, you were in a lot of DMs.
Girl.
You would come get your hair done, and then you would tell me of a new MLB player or NFL player, and you have to, like, talk about it a little bit.
Listen, there were... I was like... I told myself, I was like, I'm going to date all types of guys because I need to figure out what is going to work for me. I didn't blow up my whole life to like not get this right second time around.
True.
So I was like,
yeah,
I'm going in. So I dated doctors, lawyers, athletes. I mean, there were many a blue checks, many a blue checks in there, but boots on the ground. Okay. In real life, like all day, every day, I would be dating like lawyers and doctors and entrepreneurs. Like there was like the eclectic mix. I was like, I'm not going to just go for one specific type. But I knew at that point what I did not want in any capacity. So that was helpful. So that was that.
Our next partner is Athletic Greens. I take AG1 by Athletic Greens literally every day. And can I just tell you guys, I don't know if you listen to the Huberman podcast. Have you guys heard of Huberman? Have we talked about this?
No.
Okay. Huberman, he's so cool. He's basically like a scientist and he's so smart. He has like one of the number one podcasts, but I was listening to his podcast and AG1 by Athletic Greens was a sponsor. And I felt so cool.
Okay.
I was like, damn, we're scientific over here.
So I take AG1 in the morning. It's best to take it on an empty stomach. Do it before your coffee, before you're working out, before you're starting your day. And it's going to like get you going. I promise. It makes me feel unstoppable, ready to go. And believe me, I'm not like working on a lot of sleep here. So AG1 has got my body as good as it really can get. It has got everything you really need in it. So you don't have to like take a whole bunch of supplements. You know how you see those people that are like, and then I pick out from this thing and then I pick out from this thing. And then
yeah, just take it all in one place.
You don't
place.
Have to do that. Just one scoop of powder in water once a day. Best, you know, as first thing in the morning before you eat anything. So you just like with AG1, it's really designed with ease in mind. So you can live a healthier, better life without having to do a lot to get that done. Each scoop is packed with 75 minerals, vitamins, and whole food source ingredients for the highest quality. It's going to give you major benefits for your gut, your mood support, boosted energy. Even, you know, if we wanted to be a little vain,
skin, hair, and
healthier
nails.
Looking skin, hair, and nails.
So if you guys are looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/get it. That's athleticgreens.com/get it. Check it out.
So I thought it would be, that was my biggest fear in dating, is that guys would not want to be involved with me or not want to date me because I have kids. It's the complete opposite, actually. It was, wow, you're a mom? Like, I'm intrigued. You're a mom? I need to take you on a date. I think it is very much a heart eyes for guys, which was fascinating for me, especially younger guys. Like, they were like, wow, love it.
That's so nice.
It was very nice. So there was no, never a problem. But for me, it was sort of like, it was hard for me to see the guys I was dating with my kids. So it wasn't from their end where I felt like the hesitation was. It was more from my end.
How many guys did you introduce to your kids?
None.
Just your fiance. Okay, yeah. Great. So when you're dating with kids and you're still living together in the same house as your husband, how was like the, I don't want to say like custody, but like how was the split on taking care of kids? Because you couldn't just be like any day of the week, be like, I'm going out, right? You'd have to like have it on the days that he would have the kids. Is that how it went?
Yeah, it was just sort of like a 50-50. I mean, I was more of the primary caretaker at that point, but it was sort of just like I picked my days where I wanted to go out and, you know, he did what he wanted to on his days. It was sort of like, I guess, the foreshadowing of how it was going to be. But the communication was bleak at that point. It was not living in a wondrous land. So, Yeah.
When you're dating and you're a mom, you're also thinking, will this guy not just drive with me, but drive with my kids? Is that any different than it was when you were younger and looking for a guy to like be a parent with? Is it like still the same thing? Like you're like, I'm looking for someone to parent with, be the father of my children. It just, or do you think like this, their dad is still going to be their dad? Which of course is the case, but like, is it like, how is it different?
It's definitely different. I think their dad's always going to be their dad, but I, based on my experience as a mom, knowing my kids and then knowing how I feel about certain things that are a part of my kids' lives, it does change my perspective. I was going to bring up like the political climate has changed drastically in the last 8 years, and that affects a lot of different parenting decisions and culture and everything. So I knew going into it the type of man that I was looking for that would align with me on those things that I didn't have foresight in my 20s, because how could you possibly? And then with the culture changing so much, those issues just don't come up until they do. And then when you think maybe you don't see eye to eye, it's a little too late then. So I felt I had a better grasp on what I was looking for in a man to support those like values with
my kids. Would you say that is more of a growing up thing or more of an experience thing?
I think more of an experience, because as you know, being a mom, like you could say, you could read all the books, but until you're an actual mom and you're going through the motions, you can't really like have significant opinions. Like you can go into it being like, I feel like I'll be like this, but until you're faced with it, also as the children are different ages, like my kids are 3 and 5. So that's different than 1.
Yeah.
It's different than 6 months. So I feel like it's an experience thing, at least for me.
Gotcha. So you meet your fiance 5 months. You get with him 5 months after you split with your husband. Mm-hmm. 6 months. How did it feel when you met him? How was it different? Were you like, oh my gosh, this is what I was supposed to be looking for? You finally understood.
Yeah, it was so different than like any guy I dated or obviously was married to. I feel like when you always been like talk about Jared or whatever, I'd be like so disconnected. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't felt like that since like I was like younger. Like I can't, I'm like literally married and like can't even relate. I was sitting inside Ballston Mall or whatever. Mm-hmm. He walks in and then we're talking about like a 6'4" golden retriever comes right through the door. And I'm like, immediately, yes. Immediately, yes, 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 yes.
At first I was like, a golden retriever. He brought in a golden retriever. How amazing. Like, but not really. You're calling him a
really.
Golden retriever because he's a blonde, 6'4".
He's a total golden retriever. All tan and everything. But we sat down. So it was the most incredible experience, like meeting him. I knew instantly. And I even when I was like obsessed with guys like back in the day, like I never like had that like you are like my soul mate for life. Where have you been my whole entire life? Like I literally love you. And I felt that with him. And so I knew like, okay, this is my second husband. So when I was getting ready for the date, I was getting ready with my girlfriend Simona, and I initially wasn't gonna go on a date with him because he has the same name as my ex-husband. Like, and so I wasn't gonna go on the date, but she said, you know, that could be your husband. And like she didn't say that for the 6 months I was dating about anyone. And I was like, yeah, okay. I literally came home. I was like, that's my fucking husband. Like, I can't. So, but yeah, like I knew immediately. I mean, we were just like lost in each other. Like it was just like, I was like infatuated, like at first sight and like first conversation, like we couldn't leave each other. We were talking for hours. We were walking around Arlington, like kissing in the streets and holding hands. And listen, it was, yeah, an unmatched experience.
For people out there listening, thinking like, oh, it sounds like she's in infatuation with him and it might be lust and not love. And you guys have a date on the calendar and it's right around the corner. How would you respond to those people? How do you know it's not too fresh to get into another marriage? And that, yeah, this is like something that's lifelong. It will last beyond that that flamey period.
Yeah, the flamey period. Well, I think the difference in that is that I've experienced marriage before and for a long term. And I knew at that point after dating for 6 months what I was exactly looking for. I'll also say he was married prior to.
Oh.
So we had, even on the first date, deep conversations about exactly what we were looking for. So I think based on our collective experience, we connected just instantly. Mm-hmm. We aligned on everything. And so like the infatuation is, I guess you could say the excitement, the spark mm-hmm. that was involved, but there's such a deeper love there, and connection. But listen, I think people are more decisive when they've been married and been through mm-hmm. experience, know what it is, know what they want, what they don't want. Also, we're older. I'm 34 and, you know, I don't think a time of dating is significant to success. Because you could be with someone for 7 years and then marry them and it not work out. So, that's what I have to say about that.
Gotcha. Okay, I guess my last question, and guys, I'm sorry, Lauren just popped off because her Wi-Fi went wonky. So I just, I'm wrapping this up with Adrian on my own, but I got questions from Lauren and we're on the same page about all this. I think what we want to know and that the audience would like to know if they are like in a situation like they, like yourself, what advice would you give to girls who are feeling pressure to get married for a multitude of reasons, age maybe being one of them, and maybe not feeling what they think they should be feeling?
I think this goes back to what gets like a negative, I guess, reputation, which is like the spark. And for me, I was like, there is no spark in my previous relationship. And I just chalked it up to like, it'll get there, it'll grow. And I think a lot of girls that are probably in the situation you're explaining are waiting for that to be there. I think there's a difference between there being a spark and just it not being the right person, and that's okay. But I think also understanding the world is large and vast, and there are so many people out there, and you don't have to die on a hill because you've said yes. Like, we can make decisions in our life and they can be changed. Like, you're not going to be a failure. Like, we're kind of like pushed into this culture as like, oh my gosh, it's taboo. Like, you're getting a divorce. What a failure. Especially if you have kids. What a failure. But honestly, it's not. And I think more people need to talk about getting out of the relationship sooner rather than later so that a lot of their life isn't passing them by, honestly.
I think that's good advice. And as far as the spark goes, people waiting for a spark, it needs to come at some point. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think what people say, like, the spark is something that you need to like kind of get over, like go outside your it type or whatnot. I think yes, but like, you can't be there in that relationship because it's practical for a long time. I think what they mean, I think the advice that they mean to give, which I don't think often comes across, but you bring up a good point, is that like, you can date somebody that you're not, like, that's not in your type range, but then within a few dates, you know, within a month or so, you should be developing strong feelings for them. If you're just dating because like it seems like right on paper, you
right.
probably should never get married.
Right. Because again, love isn't like formulaic like that. And sometimes it doesn't add up in the equation. But I think at the end of the day, also last thing about dating is like a lot of women go out there and like, oh my God, I didn't feel upset. Like they didn't feel exactly what I just described. Even if you feel that like intense intimacy for somebody the second you meet them, I'm not saying go for that if like you don't align on values when you find out on two or three dates. It's not like look at the spark over everything else.
Oh yeah.
But it's also like if you don't feel like an extreme draw towards someone, I hate to say it, but there's so many people out there and there's going to be someone you do. And there's discern between the spark and just not the right person. Yeah, and don't let everybody around you convince you that it's going to grow because they're saying that with all good intentions and they want you to succeed, but they're never going to care from your perspective because they're not in your shoes in the relationship.
Yes, we feel that exactly. So guys, when people say, just like, no, when people say stuff like, oh, let it grow too. Like, you know, and if it's not growing,
if it's not growing,
don't literally marry it. All right. Well, Adrian, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to see the feedback from the listeners on this. I feel like there will be a lot because I feel like we see messages all the time on the message board about girls debating whether or not they should be where they are in a relationship.
It's going to be worth it.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes. And thank you for having me.
See you soon. And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And before you know it, you're going to be like walking down the aisle. It's insane.
I know. It's so great.
But very excited for you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. I don't get it. Podcast.